Amen. It's great to be with you today. Give the Lord a hand because he deserves it. Amen. Listen, my name's Gary. I'm the missions pastor here, if I have not had an opportunity to meet you. But one thing we want to be able to do right now, though, is our pastor, Pastor Ben. Not everyone knows this, but he's due for surgery on Tuesday. He has a herniated disc in his back. His pain level, he said, if he uses the painkiller, it goes to an 8. So he's in extreme pain. As my wife, who worked in the operating room, told me, when they set up your surgery in just a few days, you know it's serious. Okay? So again, he's obviously in great pain. He's laid up for a month. They told him really he shouldn't be out or off his back or whatever that means till October. Okay? So again, that, you know how that is. I mean, none of us want to do that. We got things to do, right? Can you imagine right now if they said you're laid up for a month? Some of you are saying, I'd love that. Okay, I know. But think about that. So there's, again, can we lift him up? Melanie is just downstairs right now. Melanie, his daughter Emma, they're serving us downstairs with the kids. But can we lift them up in prayer right now? All right, let's join together. Father, we come before you. And Father God, again, as we were saying, God, you're almighty. El Shaddai is almighty God. And we know you're a good God. And we know that you said that when those are ill or hurt, we should lay hands on them. And we should pray in the name of Jesus. And so, Father God, right now we pray right now for Pastor Ben. And Father God, we cry out for healing for him. Healing for his body. Healing his back. Father God, again, this herniated disc, God, we're crying out, Father God, for restoration of his back. God, we're crying out, God, that he doesn't have to be laid up a month. Father, restore him. And also, God, grant his wife peace. Grant Melanie peace. Grant his daughter peace. Grant him peace, Father God. Because he wants to get out. He wants to get after. He wants to serve you. He wants to build. He wants to serve us. So, Father God, even right now at 10:35, touch him, let him sense your presence, give him a peace that makes no sense. In Jesus' name, they all said, amen, amen. So I want to encourage you. Listen, again, you'll see Melanie walking around here after service here to give her a hug. Let her know you're praying for her. Who can do that? Okay, all right. Okay, a lot of people said they're remembering to do that. Amen. Hope your memory's better than mine. Hallelujah. Listen, again, we're going to talk today. I have this great opportunity to talk to you. I don't get to do this very often. We're going to talk today about a scripture out of Romans 14. I'm not going to show it to you on the slide yet, but we're going to get there. You know, as citizens of the United States, there are some things we just expect as citizens. You know, I expect to have the right of free speech in America. How many are thankful for free speech? All right? I am thankful for freedom to worship. We can worship as we want. I'm thankful for the freedom to truly go out and create wealth. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that there are protections that we have in our culture. You know, you see, and the thing is, they're so natural to us, we take them for granted. But I want to tell you, I'm going to a nation tomorrow. So I'm headed to Pakistan tomorrow. They don't have any of those in their citizenship of Pakistan. They don't have freedom of speech. They don't have freedom of worship. They're not free to do whatever they want. And they're not protected. Right? So the thing is, we're blessed by being American citizens, aren't we? Amen. You know, really, you know, the Bible word is we're in the kingdom of the United States. And I think we're blessed to be in a good kingdom, aren't we? Right? We are. We are blessed people. We don't take for granted what you have. Don't take for granted the freedom that we have, the way that we live, and everything we get to enjoy. But let's think, I want you to think for a moment. What's it mean to be a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? What does that mean? Because we're part of another kingdom of the United States, but we're citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And if you think for just a moment, it's hard to answer because there's a myriad of things that we have that are great as citizens in God's kingdom, correct? Right, there's many, many things. We're so blessed in so many ways. His kingdom has so much to offer, and it's so different than any earthly kingdom, it gets hard for us to define. What is the kingdom of God? What does it look like? And if you think about it, Jesus saw this problem that we had, because in the words we have recorded from him, there's a lot of them invested in trying to communicate to us, what is this kingdom of God? What is it? I mean, again, if you just think for a moment, those of you who have been serving God for a while, there's many things that go through your head on this subject because Jesus talked about it a lot. Paul talked about these things a lot. And the thing is, why did Jesus have to do that? Because, why? Well, his kingdom was so different than any other one. His kingdom confused the Jews, which were the people he came to serve. Right? They were the first ones he came to serve, but even the Jews were confused. Their culture, their religious culture, they couldn't understand how good the kingdom was supposed to be. See, because the Old Testament wasn't put in motion to confuse everybody. It was put in motion that we could walk in freedom. Okay? But the Jews couldn't see it. They couldn't understand what was the kingdom of God. So Jesus spends all this time trying to use different metaphors. The kingdom of heaven is like, and some different word pictures, parables come into your mind as I say that very thing. But listen, I believe we as Christians have the exact same problem today. What is the kingdom of God? What does it really look like? What's it really mean to be in God's kingdom? Why should someone want to be in the kingdom of God? Why? Why would someone want to do this? And if I say I believe in the kingdom of God, how should that affect my life? What should be happening in my life if I'm really a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? See, you think about this. The United States, literally millions of people will do anything. They will risk their very lives to get into our kingdom in the United States, right? We read about it all the time. We see it on the news. People will do anything to get into this kingdom. Now, tell me, is the kingdom of heaven greater than the United States kingdom? Yes. Then why aren't people running, storming the doors to get into the kingdom of heaven? Why? Why is that? Could it be that we're not giving a clear picture of what the kingdom of heaven is? Because shouldn't they, right? I mean, there's people literally paying big money trying to get here illegally to get into this kingdom. But yet, people certainly aren't looking to get into God's kingdom. What we need to see again is maybe we're part of the problem. Maybe we're the root of the problem. Maybe we are. Right? What example, what are we showing them about the kingdom of God? Could it be that we need to define and make clear what is the kingdom of God? So, in these next few moments together, let's talk about the kingdom of God. Are you with me? Let's pray. Father, we come before you. God, we thank you for the word. Father God, and we thank you for the reality that it is, it's a reality in our lives. But God, we want kingdom reality. Show us what it is. Open us up. Even as Larissa was encouraging us prophetically that to break through the walls. God, one of the walls, we have accidental walls. And one of them is we don't understand who you are. God, break down those walls, run by them, that I could understand what it means to be in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. 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 The kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. I mean, I don't want to complicate the kingdom of God. Reality is, like many things of God, the kingdom is simple, but it's deep. Simple, but deep. It's like the word love. Okay, we say, okay, I know what love is. Yeah, but some of you love a sunset. Some of you love pizza. Some of you love, you know, the Foods Channel. Some of you love the Steelers, right? But and you love your spouse and you love your family. It's a simple concept, but it's very deep. The kingdom of God has depth to it. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 14, and we're looking at verses 15 to 17. And what's happening here is Paul is speaking to the Romans. And in the context, in the text, the whole text, what he's saying is, look, don't judge people because they don't think like you. Don't judge people because they celebrate different days. Don't judge people because they're not as mature as you in their faith. And specifically, in this text, we'll see, he said, don't judge people because of what they eat. Right? Don't judge them. Let's take a look. This, picking it up in verse 15, Paul writes, "For if because of food your brother is hurt, you're no longer walking according to love. Don't destroy with your food for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what is for you a good thing, eating, be spoken of as evil." Verse 17, this is it. "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What's the kingdom of God? Righteousness. Not a trick question. Open book test. Let's say it again. Righteousness. This is the kingdom of God. So this is the kingdom. It's not all the stuff. It's not the rules, right? Because they were all arguing about rules. You have to follow this law, and you have to do it this way, and you have to serve God my way. You have to celebrate on the right day, or else it's wrong, right? Now again, remember the Jews were coming from that culture too, where the Sabbath was holy, right? And then Jesus went through that whole thing. He made applesauce out of that apple cart, okay? I mean, that's what he did. That's what he did. Okay, so they're trying to understand it. So he's bringing clarity. Look, this is the kingdom. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. This is the kingdom where you live. You're a citizen of this kingdom. Your kingdom, you get to live in righteousness, with peace, and joy. Does that sound pretty good? Right? Well, again, I believe that if we were really exhibiting that, people would be breaking down the doors. That want to get into this kingdom. Let's think for a second. When I look at this, let's think about what the kingdom is not. As mentioned, it's not rules. The kingdom is not about rules. It's not about intolerance, correct? Right? It's not oppressive. There's nothing guilt-ridden here. There's nothing making people feel condemned when they fail, right? It's not filled with obligations and burdens. And listen, it's not antiquated. Does living right, having peace of mind, and joy ever go out of style? Does anybody here have too much peace? Okay, anybody too happy? No. Again, so I think there's something more for us to gain, correct? This does not go out of style. You're a citizen in a kingdom. You live in a kingdom that says, this is what it looks like. You have righteousness, peace, and joy in my kingdom. Ah, man, some of us are thinking, man, I never knew that part of the kingdom. Well, I'm glad you're here today, right? Aren't you glad you're here? Amen? Because listen, some of us, this is new. For many of us, it's like, yeah, I know this, but I'm struggling. I'm struggling to walk it. Let's just tear it apart for a moment here. Okay, we know what the kingdom is not. The kingdom is righteousness. And I think we talk about righteousness this way. At times, you know, we confuse it. I say keep it simple. And again, I don't think that the Word of God was made to confuse us. And we need to keep it simple. Righteousness, what's it mean? It means right living. It means doing right. And so you may respond right away saying, well, that sounds like I got to follow rules. That sounds like there's rules that I have to follow. But I want you to consider for a second, what does doing right yield in your life? Right? It yields something. Right? How good is a clean conscience? Man, how good is it to lay your head down and know that there's no one that you've offended, there's no one that you cheated, right? There's no one that you shortchanged, right? There is a life that happens as we live in honesty, as we live in integrity. And again, the result of right living is blessing. Remember, Jesus made the statement in Matthew chapter 6. He said, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and then what? Everything else gets added. See, we're running ahead. We're asking God for everything that gets added. He says, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness. That's, again, what's it mean to live right? What's it look like to live right? Because to me, listen, living right means I'm living free. I live in freedom because of this word righteousness. Okay, so we know, again, it's right living. Listen, instead of rules in God, I think pattern is a better word. God wants you to follow the pattern. You know, I'm old enough that I remember my mother making some of our clothing. Anybody remember making clothing? Maybe some of you, anybody still make clothing? Okay, I appreciate that. Now my mother, I know she'd purchase a pattern, I remember this, and she would, you know, if you follow the pattern correctly, she lays out the pattern, if you follow the pattern correctly, you get a great result. Okay, you get a great result. You've made something you're proud of. Now, if you don't follow the pattern right, like one leg shorter than the other, okay? And again, a lot of us, listen, you're walking around looking stupid because you're not following the pattern that God has, okay? See, but if you follow the pattern that God has, if you follow the pattern of righteousness, you're going to have a great result, right? Otherwise, you look foolish. And you know you look foolish, and you feel funny about the way you look, right? And so you don't want to share or show? You're not show. Listen, if I walk around this way, should I talk about how great the pattern maker is? No, right? Again, so he said, I want to be one who represents him. Follow the pattern and be blessed. Amen? Look at someone, tell them, follow the pattern. Follow the pattern. Will you please just follow the pattern? You'll have a great result. Righteousness is going to result. But listen, you know what's even better than this of following the pattern and being and having a good result? Righteous living does not mean you're perfect. Righteous living does not mean you do everything right. Righteous living means you know how to find forgiveness. God knows that you fail. God knows it. You know, and one of the things, we read this thing like, man, if I could ever just live righteously. You can. You can. Not because you're good, but because you're a citizen of heaven, he's made a way for you to be forgiven. I don't have to hold on to my guilt. I don't have to lay in condemnation. He's made a way for me to find forgiveness. In other words, when you mess up the pattern later today, you can fix it. Isn't that good news? Right? Because later today, you're going to screw up the pattern somewhere. Right? But we can come to him. Righteous living is knowing you can be free and set free from sin and guilt and shame. Is that good news or what? I mean, to me, one of the great things in the kingdom is not having shame, not having guilt for the past. Oh, is that good? That means you're living in righteousness. Righteous people, that's what I'm saying, righteous people are free. Free. You live in a citizen. You're a citizen of the kingdom where you can walk in freedom. Take a deep breath. Just breathe that in. God, I can be free today. I can be free. Freedom. That is what we get as a citizen in the kingdom of God. Next, it says peace. Listen, we can have peace of mind. That's where I go with this. Peace of mind. Not just peace from your enemies. Yes, certainly. But peace of mind. We're told in Isaiah that when Jesus was being tortured, it says he was chastised for our peace. Our peace of mind. You can have peace that makes no sense. That's what we sang about today. Peace that makes no sense. That is a promise. Now tell me, everyone in here has something weighing on you today, right? We know that. How do I know that? Because Jesus said every day you have trouble. That's how I know that. So if you want to sit here and say, nope, my life's perfect, I say, you're lying, okay? Right? I know Jesus said you have trouble every day. But he says you can have peace in the middle of that. Like, that's a promise of God. What's peace? Peace means no anxiety. It means you're not concerned because your to-do list is longer than the day. Right? Because that's usually how I live. My to-do list is longer than my day. How many of you live that way? Right? You get to-do list is just so long. Right? But I can have peace. Some of you, there's a contentious relationship that you're trying to make right, but man, the other person doesn't want to work it. But you can have peace. Peace right there, right in the middle of it. You're looking at your financial situation. You can have what? Peace. You're a citizen of this kingdom. It's yours. You can have, this is yours. No fear of seeing the boss, no fear of seeing that certain person. No fear of tomorrow. That's what you get as a citizen of the kingdom of God. Is that good or what? Man, so we can live right. We can live guilt-free. We can live with a clear conscience. We don't have to wallow in our failures. We can find freedom and we can have peace. And lastly, it says you can have joy. Joy. You know, I'd like that we're singing in the song today. It said you could have joy in chaos. Yeah, you bet. Joy, how many had a chaotic day yesterday? There were moments where it was just chaotic. Right? How many could use a little more joy in that chaos, right? This is a promise of God. You're a citizen of heaven. You get to have joy. You know, I believe we need to remind ourselves that we serve the God of joy. Remember, he's not an austere God up there looking to get us in line, hoping we pass the test and get to heaven. He's saying, I want you to have peace. I want you to have joy right now. But think about this. God has joy over you. That's what the scripture tells me, right? As we pursue him, as we faithfully pursue him. Jeremiah 32, it says, God says, I will rejoice over them and do them good and will faithfully plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. That's what God says about you. That's a pretty good word, isn't it? right? So again, so this is, see, that's what you catch. This is what we get as citizens of heaven. This is ours. You know, if when you're walking in the joy of God, the glass is never half empty. The glass is all, there could be a drop in the glass, Sly, and the glass is half full. That's reality. That's what we get. That's the way we have the opportunity to live as believers in Jesus Christ. You're a citizen. This is yours. Now, what's cool about this, too, is what, again, this righteousness that we can have, this peace of mind we can have, this joy, you don't work for it. You get it because you're a citizen. You don't have to work at it. See, and that's the thing. We keep thinking we have to work for righteousness. You can't work for righteousness. You're not good enough. You'll never be good, right? He says, look, I'll give you. He makes us righteous. He wins us that forgiveness. And again, we follow the patterns. We follow the patterns he's laid out in the kingdom. And blessing follows. Peace follows. Joy follows. It's all there for us. Follow the pattern. Have peace of mind. Amen? Which one do you need today? You need to know that you're right and your conscience is free? Or do you need peace of mind? Or do you just know, man, I need some joy in my life? All right. We all need one of those. It's yours. It's yours. It's there for the taking. Like, man, God, help us catch the reality of what we have in you. This is the kingdom. I'm free from my past. I got hope for the future. I got peace of mind. I have joy. Now, doesn't that sound like something everybody would want? Right? Everybody. Who doesn't? Again, who doesn't want that? Everybody wants that in their life. I mean, again, none of us have enough of any of those three things. Does that sound like something people would want to, in the world, would want to come and be a part of? Absolutely. Absolutely they'd want that. Absolutely that they desire that. But the question is, as people looked at your life this past week, from August 24th to August 31st, have they seen the kingdom of God? Have they seen what right living looks like? Have they seen a clear conscience? Have they seen peace of mind? Have they experienced joy by being around you this past week? This is what kingdom citizens have. I know, listen, I'm getting ahead of myself, stop. Okay, all right. You know, people want to come to the United States because they've heard stories of how good it is. What the citizens of the United States have, right? They want to come here. And again, I do a lot of travel. Everyone wants to come to the United States. Everyone. We are so blessed to be citizens here, right? But it's because they've heard the stories. They've heard stories. They've seen things, right? And they've heard, so they believe it. They believe it. Could it be, see, people aren't clamoring down, breaking down the door to get into God's kingdom because they haven't seen the riches of the kingdom. They don't look at this. They don't look at Christianity and say, oh man, I have so much peace and joy if I follow Jesus and follow his pattern, right? Said like, you're thinking nobody ever, right? But why is that? See, they're not seeing it. They're not seeing it. The best testimony, listen, your testimony starts with the way you live your life. Okay, we got to live our lives in a way that's going to bring great honor to him. And we do that by, I know I'm right, I got peace of mind, and I have joy. This is where I want to live. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to live. The most dynamic thing you can ever do evangelistically is live a kingdom life. You want to open up hearts? You want people to approach you? Live a kingdom life. Live right. Live conscience free. Show peace of, be at peace. Have joy. And people are going to be drawn into the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Matthew 5, he said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the flavor of the world. And many times, those of us who've been serving God for a while, we've heard that. It's like, okay, I got to work at this, man. I got to flavor the world. No. Salt doesn't work at flavoring. You just throw it and it flavors, right? That's what happens. That's what happens with your food. That should be you. You're just going out into the world. Salt flavors. So that's what salt does. Okay, how's it do it? Well, live free, live with peace, live with joy. Am I speaking to anybody today? Listen, God wants you set free to be able to live life as a citizen of the kingdom. Quit living like you're a stranger and alien. right? Because you're missing out on these great benefits that God has for us. Why do we struggle to do this? We have to remember it's in the Holy Spirit, as the scripture says. So we don't do this on our own, as we had mentioned. It's by God. It's knowing Him. We have to remember who He is and how He does what He does. Two things I want to share with you. How are we going to do this? First, listen, we got to be people who are serious about knowing God on a daily basis. We've got to have a greater devotion time with God. Here's a picture of a guy named Dave Scott. And Dave Scott won the International Ironman 6 years in a row. Okay, and he's just so committed, so crazy. He's older now. He was so crazy committed to his diet, to his training regimen, that he would do anything to win the race. 6 years in a row. And again, for those that don't know what that is, that's a race where you swim 2 miles, then you bike 100 miles, and then you run a marathon. Okay, all in succession. And this guy won 6 years in a row. And this guy was so serious about winning that he would wash his cottage cheese to get the fat off. Okay, he was so serious, so over the top, that this guy would wash his cottage cheese. Now, again, that sounds nuts, doesn't it? But he was committed. There was something he saw was worthwhile. Well, tell me, as citizens of heaven, we have something in front of us where we can live this life of freedom, this life of peace, this life of joy. But listen, it takes greater devotion than what you're exercising now. What we need is some cottage cheese intensity when it comes to knowing God. Okay? We got encouraged before that last song about magnifying and worshiping God. That is the foundation. The song before that, we sang, Christ is my... That was pretty bad. Okay. God knew your heart. Amen. The firm foundation is built by knowing who He is, by knowing He is Almighty, by knowing He is Master, by knowing He is God, by knowing He is Prince of Peace, by knowing He is with you. We need to know Him. And how do most Christians know God? What's the common way people work with know God? Well, you know, they pick up their Bible once or twice a week, flip through the phone, maybe do a devotion, pray while they're in the car. Pray when they're in church on Sunday. That's common. That's not winning the prizes of freedom, peace, and joy. We need an uncommon devotion. Why? Because we leak the revelation of God. The same way that, you know, I have to build my relationship with my wife. I have to continue to build that relationship. I got to continue to work it. We've been married 44 years. You know, and again, I think we find each other in many ways easier to love, and in some ways harder to love than ever before. Certainly on her side, towards me. But the point is, it takes work. You have to remind yourself. You have to get yourself in a discipline to know God. And so, what's uncommon? If common is a few minutes a day in the Word, look, you need to aim at 30 minutes. Aim at 30 minutes. I want to worship God. I'm going to worship. Okay, worship the King. Worship who He is. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to take some time listening. I'm going to journal. I'm going to pray for my family. But you know, you got to be uncommon. If you're saying, man, I don't have this peace and joy. You know, people aren't drawn to the kingdom because of me. Know Him better. Know Him better. Push yourself. Get into knowing the King and knowing His righteousness and knowing who He is. That next slide, please, Joe. Your life possibilities don't hinge on God's willingness to move on your behalf, but on your desire to seek Him first. Listen, that's a revelation. You need to hold on to that. You don't have to beg God to bless you. Come on, you're a citizen of heaven. He says you can be free. He says you can have peace. You can have joy. He says it's yours. You have to go seek Him and find it. Is it worth the hunt? Absolutely. Next slide. Just want to give you a couple scriptures. Okay, Proverbs 8:17. God says, I love those who love me and those who seek me how? Okay, again, uncommon. I will seek them. Next slide. Deuteronomy 4:29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find Him if you search after Him with all your heart and soul. He's looking, give him everything, and he says, I will meet you. I will meet you. This is how we're going to be a people who walk in righteousness, peace, and joy. Next, that we're just going forward here. Again, what's the other thing we got to do? So we need uncommon devotion, but we got to spend time with God. Secondly, look, we have to hate sin. We have this text here, I believe one of the clearest texts in the Word. This John's writing to Christians. He says, if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all wickedness. Okay, if we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar. Here's the point. God says, I will forgive you. Remember, you can't live righteous on your own. He says, but when you sin, come to me. You got to deal with your sin. We have to be serious about dealing with our sin. Quit winking at it. Quit thinking I'm good in almost every other area. Quit saying there's only two people I won't forgive. All right? Quit walk in obedience. When you're walking in disobedience, ask God's forgiveness. Ask the person's forgiveness if you've offended someone. And say, Jesus, help me change. Because that's the promise that we see in Hebrews chapter 4. God will help you change. Because if you could have changed on your own, you would have. Right? So sin is a monster in our lives. Listen, Joe, put up that next slide. When you sin in your life, you're like lighting up an airport and saying, devil, come and land. I know I have a bad attitude. So you're just saying, devil, come on, I'm lighting up the runway. Come and land in my life. Land in my mind. Go ahead, steal my peace. Steal my joy. I'm going to be guilt-ridden. When you allow sin in your life, that's what you're doing. You're saying, devil, come. You're inviting him. How stupid is that, right? Right? Particularly when we can be free. Amen? Because righteous people know how to be forgiven. And that's what we want to catch. Righteous people know where forgiveness is. And that's where we want to land. That's where we want to be in this moment. So again, stop asking questions. Stop playing games with your sin. Stop saying, well, I don't know if that's wrong or not. If you're convicted, man, change. There's so much we could say about that. We're going to stop with questions. We're going to do what we need to do. Listen, the kingdom is known by the Holy Spirit, by knowing God better. He wants you free. He wants you living free. He wants you peace-filled. He wants you filled with joy, and you will easily become salt. You know, when I think about, you know, people I know through the years, they've said, well, you just love watching you worship. Listen, you could worship that way. That's not a personality thing. I believe what the book says. I'm a citizen of heaven. Look what God has done for me. I can't help but worship God. Amen? See, again, well, I can't help it. I have to remind myself. I fill myself up with who is God. Amen? So again, I can't encourage you enough. We are going to be a people who know what it means to walk in righteousness, peace, and joy. You get these promises in God. Let's stand up. Amen. Father, we come before you, and God, we thank you for your word. Father God, we thank you for Romans chapter 14, that Paul defines the kingdom. God, we want to be people who know your kingdom. We want to be people who, Father God, who appreciate what you have done, who grow to know you, God, that we could walk free from sin, free from guilt, free conscience. I want to walk in peace and joy. I'm a citizen of the kingdom. This is mine. And again, and just with every eye closed, for with everyone here, you know, if you're here today and saying, man, I'm not part of that kingdom, but I would love to be. I've never known what that is. Again, we always want to give that opportunity to invite you into a relationship with God like I'm talking about, that you also could be free from your shame and your guilt from the past. And if you're here today, again, you've never done that. Jesus says, come. He says, this is available for whoever will seek me, whoever will turn their life over to me. And if you're here and you say, man, I need to rededicate. Again, this is for you. This is your moment. You know, truth sets us free. Humility, God honors. God honors humility. So if you're in that place, you're saying, I need to know. I want to know. I need to renew. Again, I just want you to raise your hand so we can pray with you. Raise your hand so we can pray with you. Said, don't let this day go by. Don't let this day go by. Know who he is. Yeah, because, you know, the scripture is very clear. It says, you know, everybody's knee is going to bow before Jesus. Either it's just a matter of this life or the next one. We want you to know him. For the rest of us, let's just come before the Lord. And Father, we come before you. And God, I want to live in righteousness, peace, and joy. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of God. Father, I'm sorry that I haven't lived that way. How it must hurt you that I don't live in what you've provided for me. So Father God, open me up. Don't let me go a day, Father God, without remembering I can be free. I can walk in total peace and I can have joy in chaos. And one way you know you're doing this is you're flavoring the people around you. When you're walking in righteousness, peace, and joy, people around you are affected. So that's one of the ways you know. So Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for truth. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. And right now, I want to release those who are being baptized to go prepare. We have a couple people being baptized, if they could be released. And we're going to have baptisms in just a few moments. Also, as the service closes, you're going to be asked to remain for the baptisms. And one thing we need to do a better job of is, again, kids, you've had kids running around too much, certainly during baptisms. We don't want them running. We would threaten to throw them in the baptistry, but that would be an opportunity and not a punishment. So we're not going to do that. But we are going to, we want to keep the kids contained. If you have a child downstairs, please.